What's up, world? This is comedian actor Barry Brew, and you're now listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to an all-new episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, actor and comedian Barry Brewer. Hey, Barry, how's it going?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have you on the show. Welcome to The Actors Lounge.
Thank you for having me so much.
Of course. Yeah. So, like I was telling you off air, I have been binging Bruh, because you star in Bruh. You are one of the series regulars, and you're hilarious on the show. Tyler Perry's Bruh.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, it's like cool to just be talking to you, because I've been taking in so much of it lately. So, this is an honor. So, yeah, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's an honor to be here with you.
Yeah. So tell me, I mean, because you do a lot of things. You're like multi-talented. You're an actor. You're a comedian. And you're also a musician and producer. Like, you do music, act.
Yeah.
You're just an all-around entertainer. So give us a little backstory of how you got into entertainment. Like, where did this journey start for you?
Man, well, entertainment itself, I mean, music started early on in church, as well as, I would say, acting and comedy. I didn't know I would act or do comedy. I just loved to laugh growing up, and I always did music. So I played drums early on, like 12, 13. Then I started playing the saxophone, and then I played the piano. And then I was just playing for this community choir, and this guy was like, man, you're funny. You should do some jokes for our church concert. And as a teenager, I did my first stand-up comedy show at a church, and I got a standing ovation.
Wow.
And a few years later, I moved to Los Angeles and been chasing, because I always thought that watching Jamie Foxx and Martin Lawrence mainly, that, okay, yes, stand-up comedy and acting kind of was one and the same in my mind.
Yeah.
So I always like, hey, I'm going to be a comic, a stand-up comedian, I'm going to do television and film, and that's all come with it. So that's kind of how I looked at it, and that's kind of what I've been chasing ever since.
Okay, so were your two biggest influences Martin and Jamie Foxx, like for comedy?
Exactly,
okay.
Both of them.
This is confirmation, because a couple nights ago me and my husband were watching season 2, and my husband was like, he kind of gives me Martin vibes. And I was like, yeah, I see it. And then you had said something it was like the scene when you and Tom, you were like, let me spend the night, we'll watch Martin and this, that, and the other. And then my husband was like, oh, he didn't say that he was like, that came from somewhere. That's real. And I was like, I think so. I was like, I'm going to ask him. And
when 100%.
I was like, yep, I see it. And then when I was watching, like, I watched a few clips of your stand-up comedy show. And it was like, when you were playing and singing, I was like, so Jamie Foxx vibes. Like, Jamie Foxx. So, yeah. Okay, so we were right.
Y'all dead on. Y'all psychic.
Yeah.
For sure. Man, those are definitely my influence. I don't try to be like them, but obviously they definitely inspired me and definitely influenced me in huge ways since I was young, you know, watching Martin, 12, 13 years old, and Jamie. And today, truthfully, that's what I still watch.
Man,
like,
for real.
I watch with my son, my wife, when we eat it. Like, we just watch it in pastime, or we'll watch, you know, we got to get back to our hang with Mr. Cooper. But yeah, the old sitcoms that just made me laugh, and the comedians were just, they were funny, genuinely, sincerely, just hilarious. And I, you know, hoped and one day that I would have the opportunity to be that man. I'm so grateful that Tyler Perry has given me the opportunity to just create. He's given me the freedom to be funny. And just, he told me the first day I filmed my first season, he says, have fun. And I really am so grateful to him for that opportunity, because it gave me a chance to do what I've always admired those two people to do. So
wow, that's dope. So how
it is.
Okay, I kind of want to go back to when you moved to LA, right? You were like, I'm going to move to LA. Was that to chase the dreams? Like, was that what the move was for?
Just to chase the dream.
Okay.
As a stand-up comedian, I was like, man, being in Chicago, you had two options. You can go to New York, or you can go to Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is where Hollywood was for movies and so forth. So I wanted to be a movie star, you know? So my thoughts was like, oh, well, that's the choice. And New York is too close to too much like Chicago. So
yeah, it's
made it a lot easier. Yeah, we got winners and we got hardcore life, so I'm gonna go to the sun and the beaches.
Right. So what was your transition like? Like once you got to LA, like what did the early days look for blah. What did the early days look like for you, like in your career?
Yes, the early days was a lot of like trying to get up in comedy clubs, working in random jobs. Like I did a delivery service, where I would drop off packages to different agencies, and I actually got fired because you don't supposed to like solicit yourself. And so I remember walking to Gersh agency, and it's an ironic story. I never, it's actually something I just thought about. I ended up being represented by Gersh later on in life. But I was at Gersh and you're supposed to deliver things. And they had the Thomas guide then. We didn't have MapQuest. And I would drop off packages. And I told this agent who I was dropping something off, I was like, hey, man, I'm an actor. I'm a comedian. I was trying to tell him that. And he reported me. He was tail reporting me. He ain't supposed to report. You see me out here trying to get it.
That's a
But
hater.
a super hater. But
Yeah.
it's okay. They let me go. It wasn't that serious. I'm like, I knew the chances I was gonna take, but I'm out here to make it, so I was okay with the taking that chance. But I did that. I was a parking lot attendant. I was what else did I do out there in LA? I play instruments. So I am a musician. So I play for a church every Sunday. That was a blessing that I
Nice.
always had a church to play for, which allowed me to make a little money on the weekends, which opened me up a little bit to have a little more flexibility as an actor to audition and do things like that. So it was a lot, man, early on, being a young man, family, trying to raise kids, and I was married early on and trying to make it. But what else? It was a lot. I created my first film when I was 21. I wrote my first movie called The Parking Lot. That was my first movie, and I shot that, and then I actually did another movie called The Perfect Plan, and that movie I had Tommy Ford in it. It's on YouTube. Tommy Ford is from Martin, Tommy from Martin. So he co-starred in that with me, and that was just such an honor to for him to do my little film, my short film. And so yeah, since then I've just been constantly putting projects together, believing in myself. I said, hey, I want to be in movies. Well, let me start to create them myself and put myself in movies if I think that's where I belong. And I've kind of developed that mentality since and still moving forward as well in that
Nice.
mentality.
And you've been on this path
What you got there?
for, did you say over 20 years now?
It's going on 20 years, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's like, they always say there's no overnight success. Like we people that, get introduced to you, it's usually like since you've been on your journey for so long, and then we're like, oh man, he blew up. And you're like, yeah, but I've been chasing this for so many years. So it's just inspiring just to see like where you're at now. Like when I was doing my research just on you, I was just like, wow, he's been around. And I appreciate that grind. So it's inspiring to me. It is.
Thank you. Yeah, it means a lot to be on your grind, to be chasing something, and to start to see it to come to fruition. It's so encouraging, inspiring, and it does. I hope so that it encourages other people on their journey, because just got to stay with it, right? And I mean, you get older, especially in this industry, you start feeling the way, So you got to stay encouraged, stay motivated, and stay after it, and you'll be, your dreams will come true too. And I ain't nowhere near started yet in my mind. So more, much more to come.
So how would you say being a comedian and being on the stage has helped you as an actor?
Oh my God. I really give so much credit to being a stand-up. It's developed me in so many ways. I've developed a certain timing, a certain confidence of funny, and just untraditional as it relates to acting, like being able to improv. There's a muscle you develop as a stand-up comedian that you don't develop as just a straight actor. There's a difference. You'll always see a difference between a stand-up comedian that's a good comedic actor versus a comedic actor. And I don't want to put names out there, but even when you look at timing, just the energy of a Tracy Morgan versus a Anthony Anderson, who's not a stand-up necessarily. So yeah, it's just a muscle that you develop as a stand-up, and that translates in acting that can help, and everybody can. It doesn't translate for everybody. Every stand-up comedian is not a great actor, but you know, there's a lot of them. It's a little easier to transition if you can act from stand-up to acting than it is from acting to be stand-up, you know, a stand-up comedian. So
yeah.
You know, I hope any of my thespians, and it's not out there, offended. but I really think for me it's helped so much. Truthfully, it's helped so much. And watching comedians like Martin on stage, when you watch his stand up, You So Crazy, mm-hmm. he was very genuinely, sincerely great at acting characters and just going into moments and you believed them. And so that was somebody I studied early on. And I mm-hmm. think studying his stand up really kind of, you know, I think I was influenced by his style. I think my style is similar, mm-hmm. that being on stage, going into characters on stage helped me when I got into, I start booking more opportunities as an actor when I start saying, walk into there and perform like you would perform on stage. Because sometimes, you know, early on in auditions, I'm trying to be what I think they want. And, you know, I'm green. I'm a little nervous. Yeah. I don't know how to create the moment in the room because the moment ain't in the room, right? It's different.
Right.
You got somebody sitting there not giving you all the energy you need for that character to react to it. And so I had to come in there and learn how to bring that moment to life, even though I didn't have all the necessities there to do so. So, mm-hmm. And I used that stand up to say, translate that to the audition room. And I think that helped.
Yeah, I definitely can see that it's an advantage because you do have just like this natural way about you as an actor. But I feel like that's like the comedian in you, just like that confidence. Because, you know, like comedians, like you have to be so confident to get up on that stage and just flow. I know you guys, you know, maybe like practice behind the scene, but you kind of have to have that like natural improv ability to just kind of like go off the cuff. So I feel like when I watch you on Bruh, I can see it all in you. I'm like, oh yeah, he got it. Like you just got this way about you. And it really does show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot. That means a lot. I hope some other people see it. Give me some more work.
Yeah.
So,
right. We claiming that.
My mama always says, just say something. Just somebody needs to see you and yeah. you're going to get you a movie. Yeah. You know, my mama. You gonna get your movie. You gonna get some watch. Ooh, you
yes.
watch. Get so anyway, I know she's back to laughing, but yeah, I'm grateful for that. I really am, mm-hmm. man. As I've journeyed this road, man, I really was always hoping that I could be special as the people I looked to on TV when I looked at Martin or Jamie mm-hmm. Foxx. I just hope that I could be special. So when you say what you're saying to me, it's so encouraging. It's so yeah. you know. Fulfilling, to be honest with you. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm on, but you know artists, we're sensitive about our art, you know. So when somebody say, hey man, you're special at this, it really does mean a lot. It goes a long way.
Oh yeah, yeah, you got it. No, for sure. Like my friend, I was telling her I was going to interview today, and before I told her that, she was telling me, because she had watched season 2 before me, and she was like, oh my god, he literally has me in tears, like in tears crying. So you are affecting people and your work is showing for itself. So I just want to give you your flowers because you're doing your thing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank yeah, you so much.
Of course. So tell me, just give me a little like, you know, glimpse into what that audition process was like for Bruh. Tell me about that.
I would love to give you that, man. First of all, I was super nervous.
Mm-hmm.
My first audition was with Kim Coleman, okay. which was the cast of director.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty, you know, just me and her in the room. That one went pretty smooth. And then the second one was with all of these people and Tyler Perry as well.
Mm.
And so Kim Coleman is standing right above, like Tyler's sitting at this table. And the casting director, Kim, is standing right above him reading the lines. And they're probably like 7-10 feet away from me.
Mm.
So it's kind of far. So I don't feel like I can connect
yeah.
in my feeling. But Tyler Perry is sitting right below my eye line where I have to act with her. So it's the most nerve-wracking mm-hmm. audition I've ever been in. Because I'm like, how can I focus? And this man who has the power in his hand to help my life right now. Is distracting, you know. So I just said, as I walked in, I was just like, very just focusing, dialing on her eyes, even though she's some ways away. And I went in there, and I don't even remember what I did because I wasn't conscious. I was just trying to be present in the moment and react to the lines instead of, be so rehearsed. Something that's helped me in the room too, just not worry about the lines, worry about who I am in the character, and try to just be genuine in that. I think that's important. You know, I know some people, especially agents and managers, like are sticklers about people and writers and their lines, but I want them to believe my character more so than me remember a line. That's what matters to me more as an actor. So I would give that gem. I think that helps me. Hopefully, it helps someone else. But yeah, so I'm doing the lines. I'm not really paying attention. I'm trying not to be distracted that this man who's billionaire staring at me that can help my life right now
Man.
and all the, and got all the opportunities. And I rocked it, and I walked out saying, "Hey, if it's for me, it's for me." Got a call back. I was almost home, and they said they wanted us to come back to take pictures. So all the people who booked it took pictures, but we hadn't booked it yet. So we leave, and in between this time that we're waiting to see if we got it, Mr. Perry got all of his, he opened up his movie studio and had all of that. He got his Walk of Fame. All of this was happening while we were waiting to hear if we booked Bruh. So right after that weekend, we get a call Monday morning saying, "Hey, we need y'all to come and audition again." I was like, "Oh my God!" Right? It's like you hit a shot and you're like, "That was the winning shot," and they said, "No, you got to shoot it again." It's like, "Oh man!" But I hit the other one. I just want to take that win and go home. I don't want to shoot again because I might miss this time, right? So I'm nervous all over again, like it's the first audition. I walk in there. And I know because I Philip, who plays Mike, walked out when we took the picture. He's like, "Oh, we got it." In my mind, I was like, "No, we ain't got it yet." Unfortunately, I have a complex like, man, not until I get it, I got it. But, you know, you got to believe. So long story short, I see a few familiar faces, and I'm looking to see who all in here for my part. Right. So there's a few familiar faces that was in there for John. So I walk in the room again. His name is Mark Swinton, which is Tyler Perry, one of his producers, and him now. So now it's not a lot of people. It's just Tyler Perry and Mark in there, two people in there. So Tyler's sitting down, and I'm reading with Mark. So halfway through the audition, Tyler Perry just stops me. He said, "You got it. You got the part. That's
what?
Enough. You got
Are
it.
You serious?"
Yes. Halfway through my audition, he stops me. He's like, "I seen enough. That's all I need to see. I just wanted to." He's kind of said, "He's. I just wanted to make sure." Something like that. "I just wanted to make sure." That's what he said. So he says that, and that's what that audition was. And then the next time I see him, I'm on my first day of filming, I'm nervous. We had a little run in, and he said, "Hey, have fun." I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Have fun." When he told me that, I felt like he gave me the keys to the car.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because when you tell a comedian actor to have fun, and second season, I took that and ran. Like, I was already, I got warmed up on first season. But the second season, I took it. And I was like, "Oh, this, I'm doing whatever I feel."
That's what I'm saying. Because my friend, she was like, "He was funny in the first season." She was like, "But the second season, he literally has me in tears." And then when we watched it, I said to my husband, I was like, "Yeah, I feel like he turned it up in second season." You can see the difference. You really can see it.
I felt way more comfortable because I was kind of, early on when I took a few classes, acting classes, this lady told me to not try to be funny. So some parts of me when I'm acting, I know sometimes I can be funny a lot, right? Like, I all see moments to be funny. But sometimes as an actor, I want to be an actor. So I want to be, you know what I mean? Because I could be funny a lot, right? Because, I've been fortunate to have that gift. So I'm like, I'm trying to be balanced in when I utilize that, when I need to be funny. So Alyssa, who plays Pam, I want to give her a shout out because she's the one who said, we were going on a Zoom, going off over our lines. And she says, "Barry, I need you to just be, like, just let loose. Like, don't hold back ever." She's like, "Be fun. Like, be, like, come on. Like, you be holding back." She said, "You be holding back." And she told me this. And she said, I want to challenge you. Mm-hmm. And then my mama Alice, who I call, who's my mom on the show.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, go for it. She's like, come on, we following your lead. Mm-hmm. And she like gave me the confidence, like, we following your lead. You know, she's worked with Tyler Perry for years.
Right.
And she's like, we following you. Mm-hmm. We all following you. And so kind of like gave me that. And so from there, second season, I was like, to the point where Tyler Perry, I remember one scene, I was riffing so much that he was like, we changed like angles on cameras. He's like, and Barry, I want you to improv all of that all over again, exactly like that.
Oh,
and everybody started
gosh.
Laughing.
Wow.
I clearly wasn't going to be able to riff it.
Right. That's but, nice, you know. I know that felt good to just be, because I know what you're saying, like, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to be the actor, but then naturally you're funny. So it's like when you bring that natural, just like who you are, like when that comes first, I think it probably works better for you.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I 100% agree. And I appreciate that. I do agree that
that
definitely makes it even better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't have to try anymore. Thank God. Right. Like I'm confident and it's there. I know it's there now. And God's giving me that gift.
Right.
So. But yeah, man, and it just feels so good for somebody to trust you, to allow you to just be, you know, because, and I've been fortunate on both shows that I've been on, Games People Play too, that I've been allowed a freedom that everybody's not allowed, you know what I mean? That the directors and the producers and showrunners that, and Tyler Perry, more importantly, like, they trust me. They say, hey, go for it, you know, and so that's a big compliment to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm excited to continue to do that at the highest level possible. I'm excited to do some feature films and more television. And hopefully, bruh, we can keep, you know, keep bringing new seasons. And we're hoping that, I think word is it might be on the network this coming fall. So hopefully that falls through. Hopefully it's such a great show they have to do it. You know what I mean? It's they're like, yeah, we have to. But I heard it's doing well on the streaming service, that it is doing well, so.
Oh,
that's
it's
great.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I'm super excited to be a part of it, just like, you know, watching it and even just having the opportunity to interview a number of you guys from the show. It's awesome. So, and to like be watching it, because I think when I interviewed Alyssa, I haven't put her episode out yet. I hadn't started binging it yet. And yeah, so now I'm like, dang, I want to go back and like talk to her. But you know,
and you should. She's a special talent. Oh, she's so special.
Her and Candace. I interviewed Candace too. Like,
that's my girl.
Yes.
Me and Candace got a show together that I wrote and directed. That's on this new streaming platform called Black Oak TV, and it comes out this Saturday.
Really? What is it called?
June 12th. It's called Jack and Jill.
Oh.
And it's starring her and I.
Ooh.
Yeah, starring her and I. It's a short form show, Jack and Jill.
Nice.
So it comes out tomorrow. You should definitely check it out. It's called Jack and Jill.
Cool. Congratulations. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Oh my gosh. It just like, it's so inspiring. Like, really. You're just like on your journey, you're doing your thing, and you're inspiring so many people. I'm super proud of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And this inspirational side of it really means a lot, right? Because I just think it's such a journey of, it just feels unfulfilled if you go down all of this and it doesn't help somebody to get through their journey. So I pray that it does inspire people.
Right. And before we wrap, is there any last words that you can, I mean, you've kind of given a lot of like inspirational words to other actors, but just to speak directly to it, just other actors that are on their journey, can you give them some more inspiration, drop some gems for them?
I would absolutely love to. I talk all the time about this. The most important thing I think for actors is to really stop waiting for people to believe in them.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Like, and I'm going to put this into the music world. I'm just use the music world as an analogy. There was a lot of people early on that couldn't get record deals, right? Because the A&Rs and the execs at these labels didn't believe in the style of music or this, that, and the third. And this is what birthed people like Master P and Ludacris. They start creating their own stuff and trying to get it to the masses.
Yeah.
And so what I want actors to take from their blueprint is to say, hey, what can I do with my talent, with my phone, with my friends, with my friends who can create, and what can we do to get to the people that love good content? It's all of these media platforms that you can reach millions of people. You should be creating the stuff you want to see, even if it's on a lower level. Start to build your content. It can be drama, it can be comedy, it can be thrillers, it can be horror, it can be whatever. Like, make sure you're doing everything within your power to help you get to your dreams. Like really, people are like, well, I don't got no agent. Well, I don't got nobody. Well, ain't nobody want to do no acting where I live. Well, ain't nobody. Like, all we have is excuses of what we don't have and what ain't happening and what's not going here. My question and challenge would be, what do you have and can you utilize that? Right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's my first piece of advice to any actor. Like, man, how do I? Because can I say this? And I want people to hear this. The reason why, and I say this as a testimony. So the reason I got on both shows that I'm on, mm-hmm. that I've been blessed to get on, had nothing to do with my agents, had nothing to do with my managers. Let me tell you what happened. Okay. The first show I got on Games People Play, I created the short film that I told you about with Tommy Forrest called The Perfect Plan. Mm-hmm. I put my own little money. I put about $1,500 to $2,000 that mm-hmm. I spent, me and my girl's money, we spent and produced this show. Hired a cameraman, asked Tommy. He was able to do it. All he asked for gas. That was a blessing. But even before that, but, you know, that wasn't even a thing. Whether he did it or not, I was going to do it. But the thing I'm saying is I put this in a little film festival. I didn't know what was going to happen with this movie. I'm just starting to do stuff that I wanted to do that I knew I was able to do. So I started moving in that direction. So it's this place called Indie Night. And Indie Night is a place where independent filmmakers can showcase their movies, right? Mm-hmm. Short films. I put my short film in there. Guess who happened to be there? Was a casting director named Robbie Reed. Oh, Robbie Reed has casted all these big movies, Malcolm X, right. All these Denzel movies, Spike Lee, Crooklyn, Antoine Fisher. Mm. She works for BET. And she was so intrigued by my casting. Wow. She's like, who casted this movie? I said, I did. She's like, man, you gotta get, she said, come and take a meeting at my office. Wow. So I met this casting director as a filmmaker, not even as an actor, even though she saw me as an actor. She was intrigued by my casting because that's what she does.
Yeah.
So I met with her and she's my wife, Soror. So we found that out later on, but I met with her. She was like, hey, you got an agent? I did not have an agent. She's like, let me put you with this young man. He just started his own boutique agency. So she gave me his number, who's my agent now. And then she said, we're auditioning for the New Edition story. And you look like Ricky Bell. So let's do Ricky Bell. Wow. And so I got to audition for the New Edition story. And I was up for Ricky Bell. My boy Elijah Kelly got it. He sings a little better than me. So blessings to him. He deserves it.
And you are a singer, though, too.
Yeah, thank you. But he's cold with it. But I say this to say that. And so years later, nothing came of that right then. But maybe a year and a half later, I get a call. My wife was kidding her up to ask her because they had knew that they were sorors and she's working for Delta for part time. And so, you know, we kind of developed a relationship from there.
Okay.
And we was calling her on something else. And she's like, hey, I got an audition for Barry. And the audition was Games People Play.
Oh.
And I got to go and audition for Games People Play. And Tracy Edmonds, executive producing it with the showrunner at the time, Vanessa Middleton. And they loved me so much. And that's when I got my first opportunity.
Dang.
Fast forward after I booked Tyler Perry's Bruh, come to find out that Tyler Perry saw my sketch on YouTube. And from my sketch he saw on YouTube, he told his casting directors, hey, I want all them guys in there to audition for this new show I wrote called Bruh.
Wow.
Because he saw this sketch on YouTube. Tyler Perry saw me on YouTube.
That's crazy.
And sent his casting directors a note to tell them to let us audition for this show.
Wow.
So what does that say? I know this is a lot, but I want this to say something. Good. It was the work that I did early on of just trying to perfect my craft and do what I can with what I had that got me those opportunities. So sometimes we're waiting for someone to come and give us something, but you got to be willing to believe in yourself. And that's when people start to come, right? It's when you start doing what you using what you have. It's the things we think we need that keeps us stagnant. So you got to remember that you got all you need and start utilizing what you have. It may not seem like enough. It may seem minimum. It may seem small. But I promise you, when you start utilizing what you got, it will take you so far. And you'll be like, man, I never thought I could get here. And I got so many testimonies that speak to that. Well, basically, I just didn't have, you know, it's just the things we think we need.
Yeah.
That stagnates us, and we have a lot that's already in us, but we don't think it's enough, or we don't think that it's going to be, you know, the thing to help us get there. But in all actuality, it is. So that would be my inspiration or my encouragement to any actor that's striving, and truthfully, not just actors, but anybody that's striving to do anything. It's your belief that really is the deciding factor if you get there or not. And I think as we become adults, people say, man, that's just you dreaming. That's not realistic. That won't happen. And that's sad, because that's kept a lot of people from their dreams from coming true. Yeah. And I've learned that don't you listen. Don't you listen to that. You believe it. And not only do you believe it, you start working towards it as if you know for sure it's going to happen. And they'll be looking around at you like, wow, that really happened. Wow. You're like, I knew it would. Right. Okay. And so as I started getting certain things, I'm grateful, and it's still, you know, a certain shock value. You know, it's kind of like, it really worked. It's like doing magic. You ever see somebody in a movie, they have magic?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, the first time it happens, it's like, man, this really works.
Right.
You know, and it'll feel like that. But once you see it works, your faith will build even more for the next level, and then the next level.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yep. So I just had to challenge myself, and I'll tell you, you'll have an interview again on another journey that I'm on, and it was a bigger dream, right, that I've always had, and now I'm believing that dream, and I was a little scared, and somebody said, well, if your dreams ain't scary, then you ain't dreaming big enough. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm on the right path, because it's definitely scary. So
man, hey, you preaching right now. I mean, that's like that's real. I love when you said, how did you say it, I don't want to butcher it, but you said the things that we think we need,
it's the things that we think we need that keeps us stagnant.
That's so real, man. That hit me for real.
That's it's a real thing. Wow, yeah,
man.
And you'll always hear, this. And anybody that's wanting to amount to anything and anything, you'll always hear what they don't have and what they don't have and what ain't someone's not doing for them and the opportunities that's not there. It's all of those things that often you'll hear when somebody's trying to do something. They're like, well, I don't have this, and I don't know how to do this, and I've never done this before.
Right.
Again, it's the things we think we need that keeps us stagnant from getting to those places. So it's just a real thing. It is profound, but it's so true, you know? So
it's very true. Did you ever have moments where you were just like, it's not working, I want to like give up, or were you always
okay. Yeah, I always have moments that I wanted to give up. Yeah. I'll never let nobody know that, but yes.
Okay, I'll edit that out.
Everybody knows now, but
yeah.
I've always had moments that I've wanted to give up, right, in my emotional state.
Yeah.
But there was always something else pulling on me. It was like, wow, this is what always reminded me in the moment I ever felt that I wanted to give up. I'm like, what if I'm right on the brink of it? Right. Because they said right after a storm comes the sunshine. Right. And that concept always, I remember being young. I was like 5 years old. I remember seeing a rainbow. And it was raining on one side of the street and it wasn't raining on the other side of the street. I've never seen that. No, I may have seen it once other time. And I remember my mom telling me, it's like, yeah, that's normal. Like, that's normal. And she's like, yeah, mostly after a storm and the way it rains, that's what happens. You'll see like the rainbow. So and then later on in life, I heard that that's like how somebody made that analogy to life. Sometimes in life, storms come, but you can't give up in a storm because that rainbow and that sun is going to shine right after it.
Yeah.
So you don't want to give up in a storm and miss that sunshine and miss the opportunity to be a part of that rainbow. And so in the moments that I wanted to give up, I'm like, I can't give up right here. I done came too far. You know, I don't want to give up right before I'm finna get the victory.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah, that's what I always tell myself. Like, I didn't come this far just to come this far.
Exactly. And it's a saying that the darkest hour sometimes is right before the break of day.
So
remember the moments that you feel like giving up, that you feel like throwing in a towel, and it feels like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Just know and believe that you're so close, that you're right there. There's no reason to sabotage all that you worked for so far to give up now. You know, it's a song. It's I Just Can't Give Up Now. I've come too far from where I started from.
Go ahead and sing it.
Nobody,
little.
You know that song.
I know that song.
Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. And that song is sometimes something you need to hear. You know, my favorite scripture is the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endureth to the end. And that scripture is what I always remember. So all I gotta do, I don't even gotta be the best at it. It says the race is not, I don't gotta be the strongest, I don't gotta be the fastest. Long as I don't give up and I endure to the end, I'm gonna win. And if you can hold on to that, you'll see your dreams come true. You know what I mean?
Gosh, this is a word. So. Brother Barry, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Good. Thank you for being here. Thanks for just sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Like so much. Just keep doing your thing. You are encouraging so many people just from your journey. Like you've encouraged me so much in this interview. So thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And let people know where they can follow you and keep up with you on your journey.
Yes. On all platforms, I am Barry Brewer Jr. Barry with an A-B-A-R-R-Y, Brewer, B-R-E-W-E-R, and Jr. as in J-R on social media, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, I guess TikTok when I create one because I need to.
Everything.
Because this is becoming too much on LinkedIn. Right. On food stamps, on all those things. Like,
I'm like, what you got a LinkedIn for?
Because they told me I'm supposed to have it. Like.
Man, bruh.
No, ain't LinkedIn, it's a network, right?
Yeah.
It's still working professionals, right?
Yeah, so you never know.
You might network with a movie producer or a director that's
true.
You know, that y'all collaborate on something special. So I don't know. But,
that's true. And then I wanted to shout out your music video because you just dropped a new music video.
I did. Yeah. Thank you so much. A new album is dropping. The single dropped called Villain Hero. Mm-hmm. It's out on YouTube. Right. Villain Hero, Barry Brewer's Villain Hero. It's just the album is kind of just, man, sometimes you try to be beautiful, you know. Mm. As a beautiful person, you strive to be, but unfortunately, you will always be the monster in somebody's story. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of how the album started. And that's the first single. And the album drops July 9th on all platforms, Villain Hero. But the single is out right now. So please go check that out. Whoever is listening, I would greatly appreciate it. And comment and like and subscribe if you enjoy.
Definitely.
And again, I really appreciate you having me on this amazing The Actors Workshop podcast, am I right?
No, you're not.
Okay, yes, we're gonna have to delete
Let's run that back.
Actors Lounge. The Actors Lounge. Jesus Christ. Help me.
The Actors Great. Workshop.
Well, thanks
podcast.
Again for having me on the Actors Lounge podcast.
Right, I'm gonna need you not to butcher the name, okay?
Well, maybe we need to have a workshop. But anyway, no, the lounge, right. We're in the lounge.
Right.
My bad.
All good, man. Well, thank you so much. Thank you again. Definitely we'll be keeping up with bruh, keeping up with your journey. So yeah, thank you for being here and have a good rest of your night and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm following the Actors Lounge on IG. So
yes,
you know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
All right, you
All
too.
Right, bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.